You're listening to the audio version of Victory Condition Gaming, sponsored by Forget Me Not Flowers and Gifts in Barrie, Vermont. You can check them out online at forgetmenotflowersbarrie.com. If you'd like to follow us on Instagram and Facebook, search for Victory Condition Gaming, and you can also follow me on Twitter at DougVCGaming. And if you'd like to watch us live every week, make sure to subscribe to Victory Condition Gaming on YouTube. This new edition of Twilight 2000 from Free League Publishing is probably, or at least one of their most funded and backed projects to date. And today I'm very excited to have the one and only Thomas Herrenstam from Free League Publishing on with me to chat all about it. Thomas, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with me. Welcome back to the show. Before we begin, though, I want to tell folks,
Hello.
There are a couple things that I'm going to ask you to do if you're watching this. The first thing is, of course, is if you're interested in anything that we're talking about tonight or today, click on the link in the description of this video. It's going to take you right over to the Kickstarter. The Kickstarter has just taken right off. It's one of the, it's just doing amazingly well. And congratulations, Thomas, for that. The other thing I'm going to ask folks to do is if you're a fan of Free League Games and Twilight 2000, hit that like button down below. That also helps us grow our communities and our show. And, you know, and we also would like you to hit that subscribe button, whether you're watching this on Free League or on VCG. And, you know, hit that little bell notification that lets us know, that'll let you know every time we go live. We really appreciate all the communities that we're building because we want to grow and help Free League and VCG just grow and become, you know, these forces of the industry Free League already is. You guys just won a Golden Ennie for best publisher or favorite publisher, I guess.
Yeah, that was great. That was a surprise and fantastic. So we're really happy about that. The award for the games, of course, were great also. But there you had like a couple of nominees. But the favorite publisher thing is open for everybody. So that was great.
It's great. I mean, it's gotten so much that you pretty much almost every year you're getting these accolades, which is great. I think I even had to go through your agent to get you booked for the show for the shoot this time. And you had like all these demands to come on, you know. I had to send
It's crazy.
Bowl of blue M&Ms. What's that all about,
Thomas? Yeah, you know. Well, you have to, you know what you want. No, I mean, we haven't really. We're just the same guys doing the same stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I'm so excited. I'm so glad that I'm so happy for all your success that you've had. And I'm always really excited to see how well you can just see you grow and grow more and more as the time goes. Time goes by. Let's talk a little bit about this Twilight 2000 Kickstarter, though, because man, this is amazing how well it's done so far. You're at 300,000 almost. I mean, hopefully by the time this session is done, you'll pass 300,000. You'll have 4,000 backers.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's crazy.
You never know what to expect, and that goes for every Kickstarter. You might think that we get like buzzy or something because we've done a couple of successful Kickstarters in the past, but that's really not the case at all. Every Kickstarter is different, and you never know. It's always a leap of faith. It's always taking a big chance, and in this case, I think a little bit more than usual, maybe because we were venturing into new territory in a way with Twilight 2000, because it's an established community. It's been around since the 80s. It's already got its fans, its community. So going in, I mean, I've been a part of that to some extent before, but as not as a publisher, but just as a regular fan. But now just to go in there and kind of meet this crowd of people who there may be some overlap between our previous gamers, our previous community as well, but there's also definitely new people who might not be previously familiar with our games. So that made us a little bit, you know, how's this going to work out just to go into this new community and this new landscape? But so far it seems to be doing well, and the feedback has been mostly, you know, really great. So it's it's been a couple of crazy days. It's been really, really amazing.
Let's talk a little bit about this product that folks are backing for. I'm going to show it up on the screen if that's okay, and then we'll kind of get to folks' questions. How about that? We'll take some questions towards the end, and if folks have any questions, feel free to put them in the comments, and we'll get to those as well. Let's take a look. It's a box set. It looks just like this so far. This is what you've unlocked with the campaign. Yes. You've got let's talk a little bit about what Twilight 2000 is, though. First of all, it's role playing in World War III that never was.
Right. In this edition, that's what it is. Right. I mean, we made that choice early on. We've been working on this game for over 2 years. So it's quite a long time before we even went, public with it, because we wanted to be able to work fairly slowly and meticulously and before we even, talked about it. And obviously the early editions, the first and the second editions, they were set in the near future because they were made in the 80s and 90s and they were set in the year 2000, obviously. But we made a choice early on to set the game to keep that year 2000, even though it's, in the past now. That turned the game into an alternate reality game, really. And we just felt that was the right choice because it kept that kind of Cold War feel from the original that we wanted to keep. And also it made it, because near future settings are so hard to get right. And they age really badly, because something that made sense today might just seem stupid in a year or 2 years. So near future is something we just felt creatively more free to go with alternate reality, because then we could work with the setting the way we want to, instead of trying to somehow predict the future, and because that you kind of get stuck on the wrong types of questions. You're not creating an interesting game world, you're doing something different. So that's why we chose to the alternate history route and keep, of course, the title and the year the game is set to 2000.
Excellent. Let's just talk a little bit about what's in this box. I'm going to tell folks that there's two variations of this product. There's a basic variant, which is pretty much the retail version of this box set. It's got a very Forbidden Lands-ish. If folks are familiar with your previous products, it feels like very Forbidden Lands-ish as far as that type of product is concerned. Let's see what you've got. Two books in here. Mm-hmm. You've got a player's manual, a referee's manual, you got maps, you've got character sheets, you've got dice, you've got cards, there's tokens, there's just a whole bunch of material in here. And it just keeps growing too, Thomas, which is awesome.
I mean, that's the way we built this, because the biggest inspiration is actually first edition of the game. And it had also a boxed set. It had the map of Poland. It had character sheets. It had those two books, a player manual and a referee's manual. In this game, it's called a referee, and we kept that, not a GM. So we wanted to capture that feel, but then maybe do it in a bit different way that is a bit more accessible and maybe more playable, and also draw in some, make the mechanics a bit different maybe. But we wanted to still keep the feel of that first edition boxed set. So that's why we wanted to do a box set again. But then we also wanted to add some more tools. So that's where the battle maps, the counters, stuff like that come in to the game that we feel would actually make it a lot easier to run. And you're right. You mentioned Forbidden Lands, which is our fantasy. It's a survival fantasy game. And it works quite similarly to Twilight 2000. That's actually no coincidence, because when we designed Forbidden Lands a number of years back, Twilight 2000 was one of the inspirations. On the travel rules in Forbidden Lands are heavily inspired by the travel rules in Twilight 2000. What we did was that we just for fun started a campaign in first edition Twilight 2000, and we played those classic modules, the Free City of Krakow and Pirates of the Vistula and so on, just for fun at the office. And then that's kind of where the idea of doing a new edition came from. But then we also realized that when we played the first edition campaign and we started designing the new edition, we wanted that sandboxy feel where you really explore the world the way you want to. It's very map based, and there's an encounter system in first edition. We wanted to take that but grow it and develop that concept, kind of like in Forbidden Lands. So it's kind of a game where you can really, it's very much procedurally generated. You travel the land, you explore, you can scavenge for stuff, you can, and you have these encounters. So the game kind of builds on itself in a sense. You can also add a longer arcs and do that, but the, you have like a core, like a gameplay that kind of just keeps moving, that you really, you can run the game basically with zero prep. And this was kind of the case in first edition also, only it was a bit harder to use maybe. So that's kind of where we wanted to go and add these extra stuff into the box. But then a box is really expensive to make with a lot of stuff in it. That's tricky. So that's why we built the Kickstarter in this way, that we made, like, we wanted to do a box, and we had, but then we added some of the components that we wanted to do as stretch goals, so that we knew we had coverage for them. And now basically we have unlocked everything that we had to in our original idea of what to bring in the games into the game. So now we have to come up with new stuff. So, but that's
another, awesome. Yeah. We'll talk a little bit about the stretch goals, and maybe hopefully maybe I might be able to pry any future stretch goals information from you. And I don't know, maybe we'll see. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about, so one thing that I really love about Free League Games is how you take this Year Zero engine and you tweak it, and you just, you like, the bones are there, that they're the same, but like things kind of get tweaked here or there, different mechanics, and it fits the setting and the dynamics of each game, and it really kind of clicks. We've seen it with Alien, we've seen it with Forbidden Lands, we've seen it with all, you know, Coriolis, we've seen it with all of them. This one kind of takes that to a whole nother level with Twilight 2000. Do you want to talk a little bit about how you've modified the Year Zero engine and how you've made it so that it kind of is familiar for folks that are familiar with your games, and then also, you know, maybe it's kind of catering to the Twilight 2000 audience that's already there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this was the main design challenge rules-wise for the game, was obviously how to, because the early editions, that they come from a very simulationist design philosophy, and it's very detailed and very crunchy. And that's cool. I mean, I enjoyed that to a point. Free League Games traditionally, the previous ones, come from a tradition which is a bit more emphasizes playability a little bit more, I would say, and you still want to, our rules are generally a lot about promoting the right feel for the game rather than the minute details. So trying to combine these for Twilight 2000 is like the main challenge, but it's been a fun. And the result now, I mean, the current version that we have is it's crunchier for sure than for example, Mutant Year Zero or something like that. I think the crunchiest before was Forbidden Lands, and Twilight 2000 is crunchier than that. But we still wanted to keep that playability and accessibility that we think really work in the rule set that we have used. And so trying to find that balance where the game feels, it feels authentic. I mean, the results, what you do in the game, it produces authentic results. So what feels authentic, realistic is a hard word to use, but at least the sense of that. Rather than focusing on getting very, very detailed. So I mean, one thing we're doing, we're keeping the number of attributes and skills fairly low, like we do in most of our games. But then we add a bunch of specialties. And specialties are kind of like talents in the other game, but here we take it a bit to another level. The specialties are more important, maybe. So the specialties are how you specialize your character and fine-tune them. So you, and this is the benefit of doing it this way, is that you have the broad skills and attributes. That means you have an immediate grasp of what you can do. You don't have to get bogged down and check your skill list every time, because you basically have a good idea of what your character can do. It also helps because if you have a really long skill list, that means characters will lack a lot of those skills. So basically you get in a situation where there's a lot of stuff you cannot do because you lack the relevant skill. With the broader skills, you get around that problem a little bit. So you get more, like you get more agency for players because you can do more stuff basically. But then you also want to be able to fine tune your character, and that you do with a specialty. So that's kind of how that works. We also add, obviously, combat is a big thing. It's very important that the right gear, like weapons, vehicles, stuff like that matters. It has to matter what kind of gear and weapons you have. It has to matter if you attack a tank from the front, from the rear, or that has to make a difference. It cannot just, in other games, we don't get into that level of detail. Here, you kind of have to a point. But still, it's trying to stay away from getting bogged down in very minute details, because that kind of slows gameplay down a lot. And that we want to avoid. No, so I mean, we produced the alpha PDF for the full, pretty much the full games, game rules. Share that with all the backers in the fall. And, you know, then everyone can check whether they think we hit the right balance or not. And this is also goes back to the community thing I mentioned before, that we want to marry together these communities, and maybe the Free League community, who kind of enjoys our rules, and we want to ease them into Twilight 2000, which is increases the crunchiness a bit, and we also want to kind of maybe invite the hardcore Twilight 2000 players from earlier editions to try out the Free League way a little bit. But so kind of meeting in the middle and finding a new system that kind of works for both. So I mean, that's kind of what we're looking for, to strike that balance between you know, authenticity, realism, and playability.
Nice. Can you talk a little bit about the combat system, like how that works a little bit? I had someone in the comments are going pretty quickly, but someone was asking about how the combat system works in this game. Is that anything that you can touch on real quick?
The combat system, of course. I mean, that is a big thing. Really, I mean, we will do a proper update about this during the campaign, so, you know, people can, you know, check it and get into it a bit more. But just to briefly touch on it, it retains really elements from both other Free League games. It has a similar initiative system with the you have the initiative cards. They're also included now as cards in the Kickstarter. There is what else? There is a system for I mean, basically, you have the same type of action, the short, the fast and slow action thing, which that's still there. So that's there. From the Twilight 2000, other editions that we picked up, is like Coolness Under Fire is a big thing. This is something that we really want to focus on. Like I mentioned, without going into getting super detailed, we rather want to kind of simulate or emulate the kind of feel of combat and a sense of authenticity. And one thing we're focusing on quite a bit is something like suppressive fire, that not just kind of in most games you kind of just, when you know, shoot to hit, and that's pretty much that. And that was but here we want to make it that really suppressive fire, and using that in different ways is really to advance positions, and to covering fire and stuff like that is really important. So we want to get, that's a big part of the game rules also. The vehicle combat system is a bit more detailed than in other games. There is component damage, which is something we haven't really done much of before. So it's also similar to the old Twilight 2000, but less, more streamlined in a sense. But still, you can get specific components of your vehicle hit and damaged, and so on. There is the core game rule right now. The combat system uses it's a hex system. You use hexagon maps, which are 10 meters across. And this is something new that we haven't used that in any other Free League game. It's actually not also in any Twilight 2000 game before either. So it's kind of a new thing. But we figured it made a lot of sense. It kind of harkens back to these kind of war games, the early war games with the counters and the hexagon maps. And we really think that works. Sure. So it kind of has a feel to it that works with wargaming. And that's something that came back from our initial campaign of first edition, Twilight 2000, that also grew into playtesting this new edition, is that you get these combat encounters, and the terrain matters, and they often start out at some range. So having maps for these combat encounters felt really natural, to be able to really utilize the terrain and that's where we kind of wanted to use this 10 meter hex system for combat. Of course, if you want to play Theater of the Mind, you can do that too. You can just kind of, I mean, that works fine. You'll just have to wing it a little bit. But if you will use the maps, that's kind of, you can get more strategic where it comes to combat. And that's also what we added these combat maps and counters as components in the game. And the combat maps were kind of cool. Now we have 8 double-sided, so there's 16 like generic maps that can also be combined in different ways. They're built in a set in a way so you can put them together in different ways, so you can create a unique new like battlefield for random encounters every time. Because that kind of random encounter thing is not just you meet 2D, you know, D6 enemies or something. They're quite detailed and have a little bit of story, kind of like in Forbidden Lands. So each random encounter is actually a little bit of a mini scenario type thing. And then you use these modular maps to kind of present the terrain for them. So that kind of, they really work together. The travel rules, the combat rules, and the maps and all of that, it really, that they kind of mesh together. So that's very briefly the combat system. Sure. Critical injuries is an important thing. They work kind of like in Coriolis, like in other freely games. You get a critical hit once you're broken or incapacitated by damage. In this game, it doesn't work that way. Instead, you take a critical hit if the damage surpasses the crit level of the weapon. So you can actually take a crit but stay on your feet potentially. Oh. So it's a bit in that sense. What else? I mean, of course, there's, like I mentioned, heavy weapons is important, like, you know, artillery, indirect fire, all of that. Radiation, of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, stuff like that. And it's still a survival game. So that kind of also goes back to Mutant Year Zero and Forbidden Lands, but it takes it a bit further. What else? I mean, it does work a little bit different in the way skill rolls are made, because this game, that's the main big difference, that it's not a dice pool game, really.
Right, right.
That you use 2 dice normally. You can actually add more dice to it. It kind of becomes a dice pool system in a way, but the core, to make a core skill roll, you use 2 dice, or sometimes even 1 or 2. If you have the skill, use 2. If you don't have the skill, you'll only roll your attribute die. So, and that makes the pushing mechanism a little bit different. So that's kind of that's a difference from other freely games, I guess. Hit location is another thing that we have in this game that we don't really do in other games. So you roll when you attack. Yeah, your hit location. So that's normally we only have hit location as a part of a critical hit or something. But here you roll that before, so it matters if you have like, you know, armor in different parts of your body or something.
Okay,
so
that's
also a level of detail that we don't normally do, but we felt it was appropriate for this game.
Absolutely.
So some examples of from the combat system.
Excellent. I like it. It sounds like it's. And you could always probably pare back some of the rules if you wanted to, if you want, you know, like you said, if you're playing Theater of the Mind and
absolutely,
you know, whatever your group is kind of leans towards.
Right.
Go ahead.
I just want to mention that. I mean, that also goes back to giving tools in the hands of players and gaming groups goes very much for this game as well, that we want to give offer different ways of playing the game. So that also goes for, I mean, how detailed you want your combat. You can definitely scale back the stuff that you feel is too detailed and keep it simple if you want. That works fine. It also goes back to, I mean, there is a military, obviously military component to Twilight 2000. And that's still there, but we also want to increase the focus a little bit on civilians. So you can definitely play civilians also. You don't have to play soldiers if you don't want to. You can definitely play this as a pretty straight post-apocalyptic game. You can play any type of survivors, really. Of course, art-wise, and for the focus will be on the military, but you can definitely have a mixed group, because, I mean, the armies have fallen apart, so everyone's trying to get by, and there's definitely, like, the example texts that we have in the game are from a mixed group of, like, local civilians and soldiers trying to help each other out. So there's definitely, we're trying to kind of get that in there as well, that you can play this game as a survival post-apocalyptic game. If you're not so interested in the military part, the game still has something to offer. But then, of course, the military stuff is there as well, because that's kind of part of the DNA of Twilight 2000. So sure, you can play the game very much the way you want to.
Let's just, I'm going to, one of the highly ask questions on the Kickstarter, and it's just kind of interesting. Is about the deluxe version of this product, which is going to be just, you said it's just Kickstarter exclusive, right? You can only get this through the Kickstarter, this this limited edition deluxe
yes
set. It is it's a set that has a tin for instead of the box for the box. It looks amazing, and it's very cool. So you can pay and pledge for this version of the game on Kickstarter. The one question that folks seem to have with this this version, though, Thomas, is the how are you going to protect the books inside with these round with these round corners? Because if you've got square books and they shift around or whatever, it is a concern. I figured we'd get it covered before.
Yes. No, I mean, it's something we haven't worked out all the details around that, but it's definitely, we will work it out. I mean, like everything else on the Kickstarter, the designs are not final. So there's still work to be done on finalizing exactly these things. So the image you saw there, it will be along those lines. So the inspiration is like an ammo can. So that's why it looks the way it does, obviously.
Yep.
We will make sure the books and the other components inside are protected from being dented. Exactly how that will look, there is different ways to do that. We're discussing that with the factory at the moment. So I'll get back to you on exactly how that will be. For the moment, this is it's a work in progress, and this is kind of how it's going to look. But there are details left to be worked out. But I don't think anyone should be worried of getting damaged stuff in there. So we'll make sure otherwise there's going to be some packaging or something to make sure everything is protected well inside the box. So that's that.
Yeah, that's great. And I'm going to tell folks if this is the first time. And the one thing that I keep reading on there's a great Facebook group for Twilight 2000 by Free League Publishing. So if you haven't joined that Facebook group, you should. But I love seeing so many people post, hey, this is my first Kickstarter that I've ever backed. Like I see that like almost on the daily at this point. This is my first, I'm so excited for this. This is my first Kickstarter. And I'm going to tell folks that if this is your first Kickstarter, Free League does Kickstarters like phenomenally well. I've said this before in other sessions, Thomas, you are very communicative. You tell us, what's going on. You give us the alpha and the beta rules to try out. Sometimes if there's delays, you let us know that, hey, there's this going on. We're going to have to push back, shipping out because such and such happened or something, you use the Kickstarter platform the way it's intended. And it's really, really great to see. And I think that's another reason why, you've had so much success. So I'm going to tell folks, if you are shy about Kickstarter and you want to give Kickstarter a try, do it with Free League, because you all know they just do great stuff on that platform.
No, I mean, we try to, like you mentioned, I think being communicative is key. Things will happen. I mean, this is game design. Things will happen along the way you didn't expect. There's always a risk of delays, even though we always try to avoid them. I'm sure we've done, mistakes where we didn't communicate well enough, and there's definitely stuff that have happened. We've been doing this for quite some time, but that's really our goal, is to stay communicative and let people know what's happening, and if there are any delays or whatever, we'll be clear and open about that, and really try to deliver what we promised or more.
Yeah, and I'll tell you that the quality of the products I'm a little biased, but the quality of the products that you deliver is just top notch, I don't think anybody should be concerned about having anything arrive in poor shape, because you want to make sure that folks are getting a quality product for.
And we always, if something gets damaged in transit, which always happens in shipping, when you ship thousands of packages all over the world, there's always going to happen. Something is lost or damaged. We always compensate and send replacements for that. So there, you don't risk like not getting your stuff.
Let's just briefly talk about stretch goals real quick. The question that the folks have seemed to be asking quite a bit, it was one of the stretch goals was to have this as a virtual tabletop platform. What version of the virtual tabletop are you thinking this might end up on? Because that seems to be there's quite a few of them right now, and yes, people seem to have favorites, and yeah. I think that's kind of
a good question. Sure. Yeah, and really, it's we haven't decided yet. Is short answer. We cannot yet say which platform it will be. It could even be more than one. this year we have started an initiative where we focused a lot on virtual tabletops. We launched that Tales from the Loop starter set recently on Roll20, and we are releasing the full Tales from the Loop game on Roll20 very soon. We were also working on the Alien game for Fantasy Grounds. Will be launching pretty soon, and the Alien also will be on Roll20. For Twilight, it could very well be one of these two or both.
Okay.
We're also looking at, there's also Foundry, the other one, and some others. So we'll have to hold off on letting you know exactly which will be the one. The reason for that is that these platforms have different ways of offering stuff, material, basically, and just how that is structured is different, and we need to make that work with them and have an agreement with them that works, and we're not there yet.
Sure.
We haven't, made any agreement with them that is final in that sense. So that's why we cannot say yet which platform it's going to be. There's some more talks with those platforms before we can fully decide. But I mean, since we will be offering this for free, as a part of your people will not be paying extra for it. It's included. It's a stretch goal. So that means no matter which platform it is, people will be able to pick it up and play it there. Sure. It might not be everybody's, everyone has their favorite platform, and there's always obviously not this, the one we choose will not be everyone's favorite. So there's always that risk, but at least you get it in a platform that you will be able to use. And it's going to be one of the fairly known platforms. So hopefully that will work well for as many people as possible. And like I said, if we're very open to launching it on more platforms also, as we go along. So this is mainly a matter of where we start. I mean, the goal, that's not only because of the pandemic, but that kind of sped things up for us a little bit, is that we want to focus on getting our games on these virtual tabletops, all of our games, as quickly as we can, basically, making sure that the quality is good. But that's why we're working on that now. There's work being done. I mentioned Tales, I mentioned Alien, there's also Forbidden Lands coming to Fantasy Grounds, and more. So, basically we want all our games to be available on these platforms. And also I should mention there are already some fan-created, like character sheets and stuff like that, already up for most of our games. Simbarum is already available on Fantasy Grounds also, I should say, like a full module for the full game. But also for the other games, you can get character sheets and tools for pretty much all our games already. It's fan-created stuff, but that it's usually really good. So if you want to get started on Freely Games Online, there is plenty to find already.
Excellent. Excellent. Let's just go right to the questions, because I know you're kind of limited on time. We've kind of used up a lot. There's some really great questions that have been asked previously, and I'm going to tell folks if you do have additional questions, let us know in the comments, and I'll try to fit them in. Michael Kwan asks, is there any chance of this having a hardback product? Is there a hardback book for something?
It's a good question. Usually, having a hardback books inside a box, it's kind of tricky. Problem is, we already did that once, so it's obviously it's possible because we did it with Forbidden Lands. Has exactly that. It has a box set with the hardback books inside. Now, that was a fantasy game, and it has those like that fake leather cover, and that kind of feels really right for a fantasy game to do that. for Twilight 2000, the look we're going for with the books is kind of like an old field manual thing. It's like actually the designer, Christian, he took his inspiration. It's from an actual field manual of the U.S. Army from the 60s, I think. But then there is nothing really there from that. But just that was like the main inspiration he looked at to get that feel. And that, for me, doesn't really work that well with a hardback book. It just doesn't, for me, it doesn't quite work that well aesthetically. It's a matter of opinion, but that's just how we feel. And it is tricky to do. And we were doing at the moment, I don't see us doing hardback books. Okay. I wouldn't say never, never in a million years. It I guess it could happen. But at the moment, it's not something we're likely to proceed on.
Okay. The other thing that I'll mention is that shipping hardback books is also more costly. So
that's true. They weigh way more. So there's more to ship. But very, very few games that I know of have hardback books inside a box. Normally, that's just not the way it's done. We did it once. I don't think we'll be doing it again, to be honest. It worked for that game, but I don't think it's like the new standard or anything. So I think it's like either hardback book or the boxed set. And for this game, with all the stuff we wanted to get in there, I think the boxed set is the better way to go.
I think it was Vanka 38 asks, any chance of a miniatures stretch goal or miniatures for this line in general?
Right. I mean, miniatures are really cool. I mean, we're looking at miniatures games, skirmish games for a number of our titles, actually. It's something we're looking at. We love those things. So that's not. But for Twilight at the moment, definitely you can use miniatures for to play combat, since terrain and in combat is important if you want to make the map big enough to kind of be the right scale for have using miniatures. And you can even have a diorama you can really use miniatures. I think at the moment there's good stuff out there like Team Yankee. I mean, there's a bunch of, since this is, it's soldiers, modern soldiers kind of, or civilians, but it's a modern era. There's quite a lot of miniatures out there that you can probably use really well with Twilight 2000. So at the moment, we're not looking into making miniatures is a big project. We will not be adding it to this Kickstarter. That would be insane. And just the creating the sculpt designs, everything and make miniatures. We have done it. We did it for Crusader Kings. We're doing it now for the Tales from the Loop board game. But that is a whole project on its own. It's not something you throw in as a stretch goal late in the game, so definitely not for this Kickstarter. But I mean, if the line Twilight 2000 continues to do well, people enjoy it, and miniatures is something that keeps coming up as something that community wants, then we're definitely not shutting the door on that later down the line.
Excellent. Let's see. Magnus asked, "Will this version of Twilight 2000 only be in English?"
Right. No, it will. If you said that his name was Magnus, I suspect he's probably Swedish. We did consider a Swedish. Yeah, I'm guessing too, because I get that we did consider a Swedish edition, and I think we even talked about the possibility. So we get quite a lot of questions, and that's perfectly understandable. Now, and also there will be a Polish edition, which is kind of cool, since the game is set. Poland is like the core setting. You can also play in Sweden or somewhere else in Europe or wherever you want. But Poland is like in the first edition is like the core setting. And we figured it was only fair to bring in some Polish people in the game since we're going to set it there. And so that kind of made sense to us. And we have a great partner called Black Monk who are doing Tales from the Loop in Polish. They're awesome. And they are in on this as well. So they will be doing a Polish version pretty soon, but that's going to be its own separate thing. But they're doing that, and they're also acting as consultants so they already helped us with the campaign descriptions of Poland and the map. They're getting the names right, because Polish has a lot of like small little extra signs and dots and stuff on their letters. So to get everything right from the Polish perspective was important to us, so that we brought them on. So they will be doing a Polish version of the game. So that we know for sure. And we did consider a Swedish version, but it's kind of hard to do. We have done it for many games. Most of them that started out in Swedish, we did a Swedish and English edition at the same time. We did it for Forbidden Lands, Simbrium has it, Mutiny Zero. I mean, most of the games do, even Vazen that we released now. But in all of those cases, it kind of made sense. I mean, there's the game was published in Swedish first or something like that. For Alien, we didn't do it. We just didn't feel the need, really, to have a Swedish edition. And for Twilight 2000, it's an international game. It's history. It's been played in Sweden, but it's not a Swedish game. It doesn't have a history going, you know, here in any particular way. So it doesn't quite make a lot of sense. But maybe. I mean, we haven't totally said no. It's just a matter of, because it's always tricky. What happens when you do two languages at the same time? It's, of course, there's extra work of translating and proofreading and doing the layout all over again. So it's a lot of extra work. And there's also the risk when you do it at the same time is that you have to make sure that if you make a change in the English one, it has to make the same change in the Swedish one. And they have to, so they don't start like going their own, there starts to be small differences. So just keeping the two editions exactly the same is also a lot of work. So we've done this, but it's a lot of it does make things more complicated. And at this point, we're thinking it's better to focus on the English edition to make sure we get that right and consider translations after than to do several languages at the same time.
Yeah, that makes sense. The question that, there's this guy, Matthew Tyler Jones. Do you know this guy? I don't know if you know this guy.
Heard of him.
Yeah. Matthew was asking. Yeah. He was asking if the Twilight 2000 will be available for the Free League workshop.
Right. Good question. Yeah. Yes. That's very much the idea. I think this game, if anyone, is perfect for the Free League workshop. I'll have to work the details out with, the Mark Miller and the license owners, but I hope it's not going to be a problem. I really don't expect that, but I just want to say it because it's still not, we haven't had the discussion yet, but yes.
Right.
Free League Workshop is a place at drivethroughrpg.com. It's a community content program that we have that basically means we offer templates so people can create stuff for our games. And publish them at DriveThruRPG and sell them there as well. And you have a little like a template, the design template. So you'll see that it's Free League Workshops, but it's like fan creations. It's community content. It's not official per se, but it's going to help it look great. It's going to have the same kind of graphic design as the official products. And there's also a great way to build a community so people can get together there and create their stuff. And I think for Twilight 2000, there's always... All throughout the years, people have been creating great stuff for the earlier editions. They've been doing that throughout the years. So it never stopped. So, and this is just so I think there's a lot of people out there who are already creating their own stuff. And I think this game also lends itself really well to do that because it's modern day kind of. So it's hard. It's fairly easy to get the, you can create, like, I know there's like, you can do like a geographical source books for areas that, because we will do some of that, but we won't cover every corner of the world. But if you want to create a source book of your own home country, where you live, because you want to, you can do that. It's like the perfect example of how to do like a source book for this game. And Free League Workshop is a great place to get that out there. So definitely, yes, as soon as possible, basically. Hopefully when we launch the game next year, or even before that, when we get it to backers, I hope that Free League Workshop will have templates and everything ready to go for Twilight 2000. So that's a big yes.
Excellent. Excellent. This kind of ties into the Free League Workshop as well, but Man of Action asked previously the future of this game. Yeah. For Free League, is this something that you see supplements coming out? Years down the line. I mean, you've got evidently there's this great fan base that has decided that they're really on board with this new edition of Twilight 2000. Is what I know you probably can't give too many details, but what's your overall plan for Twilight 2000 as far as a brand for Free League now that you've seen the success?
No, I mean, we were always planning on doing expansions for the game. Actually, the first one is already written. Chris Leitz, who is the key, he's like the lead setting and scenario writer for the game. He already wrote the first expansion. We haven't edited, it's not done yet, but it's already, the first draft of the full module is already written. And what we're planning to do is planning modules that kind of follow the same trajectory overall as the first three modules of the for the first edition, these classic modules called, it's a free city there, Krakow, Pirates of the Vistula, and Ruins of Warsaw. Those were very much geographically specific. They were about Krakow, the Vistula River, and Warsaw. You can do that, but we want to open it up a bit. So basically the first book is going to be about cities, playing in cities in this setting. And there will be, Krakow will be in there as a sample, as an example of a city. We'll also have an example from Sweden of a city. And also like guidelines how to play in any city, because you can use a lot of the same tools wherever you want to play. So, I mean, that's really the way to, we'll open it up a little bit. And probably the second expansion is going to be about like waterways, not only a specific river, but rather rivers, lakes, oceans, playing at sea, basically. So, and there will be more, you know, examples of that. It'll be, the Vistula will be in there, but also other examples. And the third one will be focused on like large scale battles, like big fights. Like, so you can kind of have that. It will probably add rules for playing large confrontations between larger forces. And then there will be scenario locations around that. So basically that's the first three that we're looking at doing right now. But then we have a lot of other ideas as well. But those three are like the first. And I should also mention that we have something, it's mentioned on the Kickstarter page. It's something it's from the Free City of Krakow old module, something called Operation Reset. It had a very specific meaning in that scenario. We're taking that concept and running with it a little bit. So this is going to be like a thread that continues throughout these expansions. Operation Reset is going to be a kind of a thing that it's almost going to be, you know, what is the Matrix? It's going to be a thing that kind of you discover a bit by bit. By playing the game, but it's not all going to be about that, but it's just going to be something that comes back. You hear this name, you learn some more about it, and that's going to be like a backstory, like a thread, something going on in the background that you kind of learn more and more about as you go along, what this is. And then of course in the end we're probably going to have like a finale, like a big, what it, like the end game of Operation Reset. So, but you don't have to focus on that if you don't want to, but it's going to be kind of be there in the background. In a way, it's kind of similar to the path to Eden in Mutant Year Zero, where there is you can do a lot of stuff. You can explore the zone and everything. But then there is this path to Eden, this place Eden in Mutant Year Zero that you're trying to find, and that you can do it quickly or you can do it over. You can do it in 10 sessions or 100 sessions. It kind of, you can decide in the group how quickly you advance toward that target. We're doing something similar here with Operation Reset. So that's also something we'll be getting back to throughout these expansions to add some more intel about what that actually means.
Nice. I think we've pretty much covered most of the questions. I know that you have we've kind of cut this short, and I want to tell folks that I want to appreciate everyone that tuned in. I'm going to tell, again, I'll say if you are interested in any of this that we've talked about and you haven't checked out the Kickstarter, please check out the link in the description of this video. Give it a look through. It's got some great content, some great, I think it's just going to be a huge product line for Free League Publishing. The other thing that I'm going to tell folks is if you're watching this either on Victory Condition Gaming or on Free League's YouTube channel, please hit that subscribe button and that like button down below. That helps us grow our communities. And we definitely love supporting Free League. And of course, I know Free League, you guys just love your community as well, and all the folks that are behind your products, and make sure to hit that subscribe button. We really, really appreciate everybody that gets behind what we do as for projects. Thomas, if folks want to know more about Free League, where should they go?
Well, yeah, you can always check our website. It's freeleaguepublishing.com, freeleaguepublishing in one word, .com. You can find us there. We're at, you know, the usual places, Twitter as well. And, of course, the current Kickstarter for Twilight 2000. You can find information there about us. And you can also get our other games there. There's a also there's an email list, a newsletter for Twilight 2000 that you can sign up to. And yeah, that's probably the best places to start.
Excellent. Excellent. All right, folks, that's going to do it for this Q&A. If you have any more questions, I'm going to tell you, go check out the Kickstarter. Leave a comment in the Kickstarter, because I know that the Freely team is very good about getting back and answering questions on there as well. And I'm sure that any questions that you might have will either be answered there in the comments or on future updates. If you're watching this after the fact and the Kickstarter is already come and gone, please let me know in the comments. And you know, I'm sure you'll be able to find this product at retail shelves. Ask your friendly local game store to you know, stock it once it's available. And I'll tell folks that if you are watching this and you're a retailer, there are retail pledges available for this project, because I know Freely does a great job of supporting brick and mortar stores, and you can take a look at that. I know quite a few stores that really hop on pretty much every single project that you folks put out. So yeah, it's you offer a really great margin for brick and mortar. So all right, folks, that's going to do it for this session. Be safe, be well, and remember, winning shouldn't be the only victory condition when you get to the table. We'll see you next time. Bye now.
Bye.